Brother Joe, we really appreciate all the things that you brought out in your study this day. So many things about God and a mindset of God, leading to a life for God. And so we appreciate that. We now have the question answer period. We will have the microphone coming to those that have questions or comments. We ask you to raise your hand and please stand and ask the question very loudly and clearly if you have those or comments. Bob Cunningham, and then we'll have Skylar Walker next.
That was awesome, Joe. I really appreciate it. Would you say a little bit more about the difference between Yahweh and Jehovah, why those different consonants have been changed, you know, from Y to J? And would you talk about that?
Well, J is something that's been added in modern times. In Hebrew, we had Y is one of the letters there, but I think like in the last 500 years, they came over with the letter J, and instead of saying use the Y, somehow they start using J, and that's how they come in there, like for Jesus and that. Jesus is Yeshua, and all that in the old way it was spelled, all of it had a Y in it instead of a J. And Yahweh is really Hebrew, and get down to what we call Jehovah, they really are trying to get to the Greek and say it in a Greek and an English way in that format. But when we think about those names, sometimes I think about them is that I don't know what we even shun from using God's name. God just told us don't use his name in vain. He just told us not to use his name. And his name's set up in the Bible so that it'd be said that people be hearing God's name so much that I guess you might be saying they'd be using it so much it'll be just drive home who God really is about all the different attachments to his name.
Skylar.
Thank you for the lesson. In response, along the same lines, it was a great example of how the names that you give to God show reverence for him. I know that there can be a debate in many times as to whether a culture or not is using the proper name for God, such as Allah. My question for you is, do you think that every culture has what we would consider to be a direct translation of what we know to be Yahweh, or is it acceptable for them to have some kind of derivative that respects him by a certain attribute? For instance, calling him the Great Spirit. Is that something accurate to name him by, or the Mightiest One? Are those types of descriptions equal to what we would call him or know him to be referred to in the Hebrew scriptures?
Well, when you get down to God, especially in the Old, because the Old Testament really focused on God the Father, I would say, and the New Testament on God the Son. Over in the Old Testament, there are many titles and names given to God, so it's a little different between titles and names. When you're talking about the Great Spirit and other things like that, those will fall in the category of what is called titles. A name is something specific and direct, like for an individual, everybody here has a name. That is something specific. For example, the President of the United States, I can say the President, everybody know who the President is. But we said President Joe Biden, or Joe Biden, everybody know specifically who he is. And that's his name. And that's different between a name and a title. So when you get down to it, it's different between saying names and titles. So when God's in his word, we look at his name, that is something that is special, and the things tied to it when we're pronouncing his name makes it something special and makes it something more important when we use it in that fashion, when we're using a name instead of just using a title in reference to him. And so it's much more to be said, but I just said it that in short form.
Brother Noah.
Thank you for your presentation, brother. Nobody could accuse you of not being thorough. You've done a great job. My question has to do with dress for worship. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a dress code for the priesthood, and we don't have something equivalent to that under the New Testament. So do you have any practical advice for people about how to dress for worship and convey respect for God? And my other question is, what about someone who maybe is coming off of a work shift, like they work as a nurse and they don't have time to change before coming to worship? Do you have any thoughts about that kind of situation?
Well, we get down to God is that, first of all, you got to honor and respect for God. And the Bible tells us about modesty in doing different things. And also, when you look in the Bible, it lets us know, it gives us what I would say sometimes, the thing about serving God is because I might use the word status or things that are going on. Like, for example, we look at John the Baptist, and people might look at him as a nobody and this, that, that, and the other because of his what he had on and different things. But when it comes down to people that are really serving God and what you would call going to the temple, things along that line, they had time to think about what they was going to do and everything so that they would approach them. As you said, the priest and everyone that served at the tabernacle, they had special clothing that they had to wear. It wasn't not something generic or whatever. They had, because when you understand the priests, they was representing something special to God. In other words, some of them didn't know what they were really representing. God was Jesus, in a way, in the Old Testament. And so every time you find out things in that fashion, it was always something special in the detail, because when they represented different things about God, about Jesus. For example, I just say this. Sometimes people don't think about it. The whole Jewish lifestyle was based upon Jesus and many other aspects, things that were special in it. People had to dress a certain way. They didn't know it at the time. They were reflecting some attribute or some aspect about Jesus, like the priests, the prophets, and a different one. But when we look at dress today and how things sometimes what we call loosely done, not doing things based upon a fashion code, it gets down to what our true hearts and minds is about when we think about God. If we really think about God, we're going to dress accordingly because we're thinking about coming into the presence of God. And we're thinking about coming into the presence of God, like Jesus talked about them coming to a wedding feast. And so if you're going to go to someone's wedding, you think about what you are going to wear. So if you're thinking about coming to God, you're thinking about that in the same way, in the same fashion. And a lot of time we could spend just on that. I got a lesson along just on what he's talking about, clothing and addressing and things along that line. But that's in short form. I just make the statement.
Brother Marcus?
Thank you for your lesson. Definitely appreciate it. Could you elaborate more upon the name God, like the meaning, where it came from? This is the simple G-O-D. And also, is that term or name for God, is that giving God less reverence? So should we call him or address him by one of those names that you mentioned from the Greek or the Hebrew?
Well, we just said God, G-O-D. Oh, in the Old Testament, it's three words for God over there. You got E-L for God. You got E-L-O-A-H. You got Elohim. Elohim is the plural form. And technically, all these forms could even refer to just gods of other people also. And so, the way that it's used in its context distinguished the regular God from everyone else. And so really, when it get down to what is called the name of God, the real names of God that is over in the Old Testament, that's when God is truly distinguished from everyone else than just saying God. For example, I say it this way. The word God is kind of like we saying president. Everybody knows president is every time somebody say it. But when they say his name, they know you're making it specific to who that individual is when it's talking about God. You know, you could hold, you just said God, just said a term God. If you got a crowd of people here, and it's just like I said this, you're at a football stadium, and you said God, so you got people there from all kind of backgrounds and nationalities. So when you just said God in that setting, they think about the God that tied today or religion. And so that's just a broad term in that way when it's talking about God. But when it's talking about, when you get specific with his name, that distinguished him completely from everyone else and what he's all about. And one of the things that I didn't get into my lesson on this was that talking about God and using his name and the way that the psalmist used it, he make God personal. He don't just use it a lot of times. We talk about God and things in general terms, but when you really read the Old Testament and read about how I'd be talking about God, it never is not in a general form. For example, the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my high and mighty tower. And the list goes on and on. That's making God personal to him. And that is talking about what God is to you. It's not talking about everybody else, but it's to you. And that's what the psalm was trying to get down to. Everything about God is to you is personal. It's not something that is just general. And many other things that he talk when it's using and it's talking about God, I kind of break it down like this. In our English language, we got what is called nouns. And nouns is what is called a person, a place, and a thing. But when the Bible talks about God, for us to grasp God, it relates God in the different aspects for us to grasp as a person, place, and a thing. And we do not even think, we don't really get into that because that kind of goes beyond. That's why I said in the end, when it talks about eternal life, most people think eternal life is something out there in the never, never land. The Bible tells us that Jesus is eternal life, and we don't think of that. We think it's something besides him. He himself is eternal life. And when Jesus said he's the resurrection and the life, he didn't say, I'm going to provide the resurrection and the life. He said, I'm it. And so that's what it get down to in the Bible. It's talking about God is this, the embodiment of it, and that makes it different than what we think about just something he providing this or doing this, just bringing out who he is to the core value of what God truly is all about. I cover a little bit more than what you're saying.
Okay. We have David Griffin next. Oh, and then Richard Bunner.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I agree with the brother who said you were very thorough. Covered a lot of information there. Oh, I'm sorry. My question is, you mentioned some of the translations that render the Hebrew Yahweh. There's a recent one that has been done. The Legacy Standard Bible renders Yahweh for Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word. And I appreciate them doing that. I think that certainly, as you're reading it, kind of gives you a different impression of the descriptions of God and just references to God. But my question is, as much as I appreciate that rendering for an English translation, I wonder if you've had any thoughts or looked into the question of why it would be that the New Testament authors, inspired by the same Holy Spirit, of course, as those of the Old Testament, why they would use the word Kyrios or Lord or Theos to refer to God, rather than just giving us maybe a transliteration in Greek of Yahweh, you know, putting it into English or into Greek letters. I don't know if my question's clear or not, but they use Lord or God. Or the Greek equivalents of those, rather than the Hebrew Yahweh in maybe a Greek spelling. I just wondered if you thought about that or looked into that.
Well, I didn't look there, but the deity is in the Old Testament, more of the focus is on God the Father, drilling it home. When you get to the New Testament, the focus changed to God the Son. And so since it changed to God the Son, it wasn't trying to, because you you got really from the Old Testament what you need about God the Father. So when you get to the New Testament, since it wasn't going to try to put the emphasis on him, you got that from the Old Testament, and the New Testament was on God the Son. Then things changed over to focus on the Son, and the terminology and the things that were being used more in the Old Testament was directed toward the God the Son. For example, I said in my lesson, though, nobody really know how to YHWH. Nobody really know how to pronounce YHWH. Vowels been put in to try to help us understand how to announce that name, because the Jewish people do not want to use God's name. They're so scared they'll use it in vain. So they, when they come up on it, they got a couple of terms that they'll use when they see God's name in the Old Testament, and Adonai, which we usually commonly use today, they use it, but some of them don't even use Adonai. They just look at that and say, well, this, that, that, and the other, and just say that because they don't even want to use God's name no way in vain. So that's how the high esteem that they use, they think of God's name. But to your question was, over in the Old Testament, the focus on the Father, and so that's why more things are written in that fashion. Then when you get to the New Testament, which are two words I know what you were talking about a God, it's really focused on God the Son. And the terms over in the New Testament is trying to get us to focus on God the Son and all his attributes and who he is, to understand that he is the Messiah.
I enjoyed your talk very much. And a name is very important. We don't want to use the wrong name. Allah is not an acceptable name. Mm. I know that because I've been to Turkey, and I saw a placard on a wall, and I thought, huh. And I looked that up, and it's a quotation from the Quran. It says, Allah, the eternal refuge, he neither begets nor is he begotten. That excludes the one that I worship then, because he begot his son, the only begotten of the Father, who's my king. So Allah is not in the equation. He's different, and he's a false god. But I don't know that not using Yahweh or Jehovah shows disrespect. In fact, it might show more respect. My dad's name was John Bunner. I never called him John, not one day in my life, because first of all, he would have thrashed me. I called him Dad, or I called him Father, out of respect. And when the disciple says, teach us to pray to God, he didn't, yet before you young people decide, well, let's start spouting Yahweh or Jehovah, Jesus didn't say, pray after this manner, Yahweh that's in heaven. He says, you pray our Father that's in heaven. I think we show more respect to God by addressing him as Father than we would by calling him by Yahweh or by Jehovah. Clearly the Bible says, you know, the YHWH is there, or El Shaddai, or Adonai. Those are names. If someone asks me, who was your father? I can say, John Bunner, I use his name. But when I'm addressing my father, I would call him Father or Dad. Dad is an acceptable name for our earthly parents. I don't call your heavenly Father Dad. I don't think that's a good idea. But I'm wanting you to see that this shows respect. I grew up in a different age than some of you younger people. You know, if someone was 20 years older than me, people that were associates of my parents, I might hear my parents talk about someone whose name was Charlie or someone whose name was Joe. I was never allowed to call these people by their first name. I had to say Mr. Smith, Mr. Jones. I could not call it because I would be corrected by my parents. I needed to show respect. And I think we need to keep that in mind, that, you know, respect is very important. And I'm like the Jews of old. I'm a little bit afraid to just spout off Yahweh or Jehovah, especially in my prayers to God. I can't bring myself to do that. That's my thoughts. And I'm not taking away from anything you said, brother. I'm just saying I'm old school on showing respect, and I'm going to have to continue to refer to God as my Father in heaven.
It goes down to, some things come down to culture and things down into time, but if you read the Old Testament and you look at the prayers that they did, they said God's name. If you look at the Old Testament prayers, all the prayers through the Old Testament, all the people that were praying to God, they end up, because we had the word Lord there, and so we don't see where they were using God's name. But if you substitute everywhere the prayers in the Old Testament, they were praying to God, they called God personally out by his name over in the Old Testament when they prayed to God. And certain things we get into about cultural things, Western culture, and all these different things, about different things, but kind of old I get, the more I study Jewish culture, be shocked about how much different Jewish culture and things they end in our Western culture and things along that line. But that's good consideration.
Okay. Bobby Cunningham.
Joe, I've always wondered, you know, with the YHWH, the consonants that are given there for God's name. I always wondered, maybe we aren't supposed to, you know, you mentioned about the Old Testament, that part of it, but consonants couldn't be pronounced, right?
Yeah, but they
how would they pronounce it if they were praying to God in consonants?
Well, that goes to the Hebrew language. The Hebrew language is not like the English language. They don't really have vowels. For us, in our English language, we put vowels in there to help us out. In the Jewish language, it's stated in a way that once you understand the Jewish language, I guess the best term, things are inferred when you are saying a letter or different things so that you understand. And that's how it's set up in the Jewish language. It's not, they don't have to worry about vowels.
I see. Everything, so you're saying they would know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, they know everything is set up in their language on consonants, and so they would know what the vowels would. They would know. They just from that, it's inferred to them how to, when they look at a word or a term, to bring it out for them, not for us. But that's the idea.
Okay. We appreciate the questions, the comments, Joe. Any summary remarks there?
I just appreciate the congregation here, brothers and everyone, to give me this opportunity to just share a portion of God's word. I always tell folks I don't know much, and I always tell folks it ain't about me. When I want to talk about God, it's about him. The focus is on him, and anything you can get out from me, just give God the glory and hope it'll help you in your life. And I always think about God and who he is and have reverence and respect for him.